talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
You're tuned to WGNS. With us in studio right now, we have Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris. How are you this morning?
Doing good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
I feel like I've said this 100 times, but it is hard to believe the new year is already here.
I tell you, when you get older, Scott, they go quick. I mean, I just had a birthday in July, and I'm thinking that was just a month ago. So I'm already half a year getting ready to turn the corner and turn another year.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is. It goes fast.
Years get faster and faster. So what all happened this year? I mean, as we look at 2024, what types of advances do we make as a county?
We are dealing with growth. I mean, everybody knows that. It's always been a, you know, top topic. Schools have been a challenge. You know, we're building a new school, and it seems like we're building a school, you know, every other year. And, you know, those schools cost elementaries, you know, as much as $50 million to up to $150 million for high schools. We're continuing to grow in that area. I mean, we've done really good things in the opioid epidemic. Our death rates have dropped 16% since 21. And we are trying to find revenues. I guess another thing that came in is one thing I had worked with home builders and Shane Reeves and the delegation as a whole is to get $1.50 a square foot from a dollar, and that's going to bring in an additional $7-8 million. So that's going to help our revenue stream and help a lot on that. So
now, is this new construction, new residential construction?
It's new construction, and it's also commercial construction. So the home builders put that in there. I had nothing to do with that, but I was concentrating on the $1.50, and they added that into it. So it's going to be somewhere around $6-8 million coming in.
So as new homes are built here in Rutherford County, for each square foot that however big of a house somebody builds, they're going to have to pay a little bit extra.
Yeah.
That's going to be paid up front, right?
No. That's one of the things in the bill that we didn't like, but they pay on the back end. So before they get a CO, they had to pay their fees. So that's one of the things, you know, that we had to give up up front, and they do it on the back end. But, you know, a lot of these builders, they do this up front anyway. So it's not a... It's kind of a cash flow thing in the first part of the year, but then it starts, all that comes in.
Now, other counties, they have similar charges or taxes, however you want to look at that, whenever somebody builds a house, right?
Yeah, some have impact fees, which is a set amount. So if you got a 10,000 square foot house and you got to pay $5,000, or if you got 1,100 square foot house, which I never thought that was fair, and I never agreed to that. The mayor doubled down on an impact fee, and he spent, you know, over, I think he cost the county over $200,000 in lobbyist fees trying to get this done, and they couldn't even get a motion to hear it. So it's very unpopular in Rutherford County. It's very unpopular in the state. So the biggest thing that we were able to do is get an increase in the school facilities tax. And that's what we did. And, you know, I said that from the start. I think I met with builders 2 years ago. I asked for, you know, a substantially higher amount, and they worked with us, and we got what, you know, got it done.
Are houses getting bigger here in Rutherford County? I mean, what are we seeing as far as new homes?
Well, yeah, some are bigger, but to be honest with you, they're just getting more expensive. You got houses that 2 or 3 years ago was, I don't know, in the threes, and now we're in the fours. You're getting, you know, for a $400,000 house, you know, you're getting somewhere around 2,500 to 3,000 square foot. Which is, you know.
And realistically, I mean, as land prices continue to go up, I guess for builders, it doesn't make a lot of sense to build smaller starter homes anymore, does it?
It's tough. When your median price is, you know, around $450,000 in Rutherford County, I mean, that's pretty hard for somebody newly married to come in and afford a house.
It seems like not too long ago, you could buy a residential lot in the county that was maybe an acre in size for under 30 grand. I remember in year 2000, you could still buy that.
Not anymore.
No, not at all.
Development costs has went up substantially too. So, I mean, a lot of people don't understand, you know, that's what drives the prices. And, you know, and we're growing so much that, you know, the land value and the land location is just astronomical in cost. And the builder, I mean, the developer has to pass that on, you know, and pass that to the builder and whoever buys the land.
And there are a lot of costs. I mean, the cost of wood, that's gone up. I mean, literally everything's gone up.
Yes. We've had a rough 4 years, and I believe with Trump coming in office, I really believe there's going to be some changes.
And of course, home loans, you know, we saw those dramatically increase from, what, 2000 to now. I mean, they've gone down a little bit since the start of this year, but they're up higher than they have been in at least 5 years.
Well, I believe they're right in 6 and 7 right now. I believe if they get to 5, you're going to see a boom of houses being built. And we've had low interest rates for a while.
We have.
And 5%, 6%, 7%, that's to us is outrageous. You know, and we go, man, that ain't nowhere close to what it was, you know, in the 90s and the, you know, 2000s. And
yeah.
And so it's we've had lower interest rates for so long. That increase, even though it's high, it's not devastatingly high, but it's still to us, my interest rate on my house is like 3%.
Yeah.
So it's a huge difference.
Well, historically speaking, over the last, you know, 40, 50, 60 years, 3% is really unheard of. I mean, if you look at the bigger picture of it all.
It'll be a while.
Yeah.
It'll be a while.
And when that 3% rolls around again, it could be 30 years from now. I mean, I hope not, but it could be.
It could be. But like now, I think a lot of us in the industry really hoping for 5.
You know, with the cost of things like houses continuing to rise and the cost of groceries, gasoline, I mean, all of it has gone up. But what about pay here in the county for, let's say, all the different government offices out there that are part of Rutherford County government? Because we talked about that before.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do is when it comes to our employees in Rutherford County, the two things that I try to focus on is recruitment and retention. And we were struggling with retention and we were struggling with recruiting because our competitive market in salaries is not at a median point. We're below a median point. And so, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to raise a mid-year raise for our employees. And I mean, you talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that on the thing. And you know, the mayor came on here and, you know, he said it was a horrible idea. And you know that because you did an article on your website and you doubled on that, you know?
You know, it's been interesting watching you and the mayor kind of go back and forth in the news about things like the pay raise.
Well, you know, we just, you know, I don't think Mayor Carr wants to hurt the county. And I, you know, I don't either. We just disagree on how to get there. And I think we both want the best for it. But I asked for a 4% raise, and I met with the finance director, make sure we afford it. I met with our human resource, make sure we allocate it in the right direction. And then I had help from Commissioner Trey Gooch and Chairman Robert P. and Jonathan Beverly. And we came up with a plan of how to do this and how to pay for it. We were able to get that through budget and finance. So it passed through budget and finance 6-1, and then we went to the full commission. And then, of course, mayor came in, and after he said it was a horrible idea, he gets up, makes a speech, says it is a good idea. You know, I'm going to support this. And he tacked on a 0.25%. You know, I don't care who gets credit for that. I mean, all I care about is the employees, and we were able to get them something, and that's important to me. Politics is you know, it's a blood sport, Scott. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, me and the mayor constantly going at each other. You know, I do not hate Joe Carr. I mean, that's not true. You know, he said something, I think, once about it in the DNJ, and DNJ said that I hated him. And then they retracted. But they retracted and said, no, that's not true. He didn't say that. It's just that we disagree on how to get to where we both want to go.
I kind of look at politics in a lot of ways is, I don't know, like a baseball game. I mean, you don't hate the other side, but at the same time, there is a game that is being played there.
The problem that I have with the mayor's office is we just don't work together good. And Mayor Carr is a very strong, strong-minded, opinionated man. And, he's boxed himself in. You know, he's made enemies of the delegation, the home builders, realtors, commission. You know, if you work together, and that's one of the things I've been trying to preach is unity. you know, we got to get back together and get to the table. Because, Scott, if we don't get to the table, what are we going to get done? Nothing. Then you get to the state level, which we are a subdivision of the state. We had to have our state legislators to approve our changes and improve changes to our Private Act. And we don't have much support in the state because of the past relationships with the mayor. So it's a struggle.
So on past interviews, when you talked about, you know, you said that you're not necessarily against the idea of building a forensic center. You're just against that idea, excuse me, of spending the money right now for one and instead use money that is sitting, I guess, within the county funds to move that towards pay raises for employees instead. Is that
well,
right?
Well, yes. But what I did instead of doing that, our revenues came in above projections. So we had money that we had allocated to us that we did not have in our budget. So what we did is took the money out of that. It didn't affect our funding balance. It didn't affect our reserves. This money was over what we projected. It was about $2 million, and we paid for the raise, the mid-year raise with that. Now, the 4%, which is a recurring cost, will go on 2025's budget. We didn't do anything out of the ordinary except take monies that wasn't projected and put it towards the 6 months of the mid-year raise.
And so when the mayor talked about, you know, we have X amount of dollars available that we can use out of the county's funds to put towards a forensic center, that money was not already labeled and approved for a forensic center, was it?
No, the thing is, the mayor's behind a forensic center. But, you know, we've been talking about a forensic center since Ketchron was here. Mayor Ketchron, Commissioner Reed, and Commissioner Gooch, this has been their thing for the last 5 years. You know, and they have been trying to get this through. You know, of course, COVID hit. And the thing is what I see, and a lot of people don't see, and some of the commissioners, we talk about this. Scott, our school is asking for over $250 million, you know, for schools that are coming up. How do we pay for that?
The county school system.
Yeah, and see, you know, you have to borrow money, which is increasing, you know, your bonds, and then you have to sit here. You got debt services that gets real high. You got to pay the notes on those borrowing. Those are things that I consider and take in, you know, consideration. Now, do we need a forensic center? Of course we will, you know, but does it need it now? I mean, a lot of us disagree on that. Some of us believe it is, but I am not against a forensic center. I'm just against timing.
And right now, let's say, for example, when you look at home loans, they're at, let's say, 6%. I don't know exactly what home loans are, but let's say they're 6%. Well, whenever those home loan interest rates go up, it also means that the bond rate also goes up as well. So if home loan mortgages are 6%, bond rates may be at 4% for a county or a city to borrow money from. And so that means that it's going to cost our county more money to borrow money, just like it does a regular person out there who's a homeowner.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times you hear things like phrases, AAA bonding. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, I am a strong proponent of keeping our AAA bonding. And, you know, people, rating, I'm sorry. And people's like, you know, what is that? What that is means we are very financially stable. As a county, there's only four counties that have that AAA, and we're one of them, which means we're good stewards of our money. What that does is when we borrow money, that's at a lower interest rate than it would be for the, you know, the regular market. So it is important to keep that. And one way to keep that is not having a huge amount of debt. You know, unfortunately, we had to raise taxes, and, I did vote for that, and we had a huge deficit. But when, you know, we raised taxes, that needed to go towards debt instead of getting more debt, you know, a transfer station and then a proposal of a forensic center. I was never for that. So I think, you know, we have to grow. Things are going to have to be built. But right now we're in a bad spot with schools, and we had to do something. And you know, you just talked about, well, Craig, the price of lands went up. Craig, the price of, you know, goods went up. Man, we built Blackman High School. I don't, you know, I think it was for like $60 million.
Yeah.
You know, we got right now an estimated proposal for a high school over $150 million.
Is it even the same size as Blackman?
It's not very much. It's about, yeah. It's not like some, you know, double size or anything, but, and you know, we can't find land. Dr. Sullivan does a very good job, and the school board does a good job, and they're trying to find land, but it gets harder and harder. So one of the things I want to do with home builders, and you know, my relationship with them is I'm in that industry, so I've never believed that the home builders should carry the debt. People make them the bad guy. Mayor Carr made them the bad guy, and people just all of a sudden didn't trust them or like them and say they're killing our... That's not true. Their cost, they bring way more than just a house. You know, we have painters, we have people who pick up trash. There's so many different factors that is associated with someone building a home. My biggest thing is I want, when they do a neighborhood and when they buy land and they want to develop a neighborhood, I think they should find and allocate some land for schools and help us, you know, with public utility buildings or something to help us. And I think they would do that.
So looking back to Blackman High School, when that was built compared to today's times, the cost to build that same square footage, that same footprint of a school have gone up by roughly 300%. That's a huge increase.
It's amazing.
And then you look at that bond rating. Okay, we have a good bond rating, but because mortgage rates are up, that obviously, I mean, we can do this stuff in our head. That means that the bond rate at which we borrow, whatever the percentage rate that we borrow, that interest rate has gone up as well. So, I mean, when you factor all this in together, it does add up to a huge bill.
Well, I mean, first of all, you got to find the land, right?
Yeah.
Second of all, you got to buy the land.
And that's gone up.
Yep. You got to get it developed. And then you got to build a school, and then you got to operate that school. You got to furnish that school. We're growing so much that these schools are maxing out in 3 to 4 years. And, you know, and it's just, you know, we just spent $40 million a school doing a Band-Aid on them, you know, to...
Yeah, they added on several schools. That increase for the salary, for the hourly pay, depending on how somebody's paid within the county for the county government, the next increase is already been... That's already been approved. 4.25%, is that what it adds up to?
Yes, and this is a misconception as well. What we did is we funded a 4% raise mid-year from now until next budget starts, which is in June, okay. May and June. Then we were going to give them a 4% raise. Now we're going to look at it and see if we can increase that more or increase the step raise or also look at longevity pay. We're able to look at a lot of things. They're not locked in at 4.25. It could go up, you know, but we said, hey, we're going to minimum raise their pay 4%. Mm-hmm. So what we have done that. We are wanting to raise it higher just to get more competitive in the market. I think we're behind anywhere to 10 to 12%. So you're looking at 4, that leaves 8%, you know, and we just can't afford a whole lot more, you know, than that. But we're going to look at these employees, take care of our employees. Backbone, they're the backbone of this county, and we have to protect them and help them.
First responder pay, is that going to be looked at separate at some point? And I mean, our county commissioner is going to say, all right, let's pay sheriff deputies and firefighters. Let's pay them an additional 10%. Let's increase their pay, because I do know there is a turnover there.
It's a huge turnover. Not only is it a turnover with new recruitment, it's a turnover with guys who've been here 10 and 15 years. You know, people that are very important to our organization. Yes, we're going to be looking at specific raises in departments, but you know, this 4%, I wanted it to be completely across the board. I wanted everybody to be able to get that. We, you know, we're okay in some departments. We're not bad. You know, we're behind, but not very bad. But like the ambulance, we're way behind, you know, as much as 17, 18%, you know, and these police officers and deputies and detention centers, you know, as much as 12%. So we had to focus on that. And that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm on budget and finance. I'm going to be looking at these. I'm going to work closely with human resources and finance, and we're going to try to find ways to take care of this.
Are there other incentives we can offer employees, maybe first responder employees or across the board? I don't know. But are there other incentives we can offer that would make Rutherford County stand out, that would allow us to keep employees as opposed to seeing them leave after we trained them going elsewhere?
Yeah, and you know, where we are struggling at, Scott, is the salary range of $40,000 to $65,000. That's where we're struggling really bad on trying to get people to work here and stay. We have promised you know, people to come in and get a bonus for applying and accepting a job. But one of the things that concern me is, you know, we train officers and we train EMA and fire, and they leave. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, there is a reimbursement for those, you know, fees of, you know, of us training you and getting you certified. But that's a cost.
Yeah.
You know, we spend a lot of time, and time is money, and you know, we're just not able to compete. Now, a lot of people say, you know, hey, Murfreesboro's paying their people this much more than us, this much, you know, almost $15,000 a year. That's a lot of money. But we can't compete with the city because the city doesn't have the school debt that we have. And so, you know, it's not apples to, you know, it's not apples to apples. It's a different thing.
Again, with us in studio this morning, Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris. And we're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back. You can text us any questions you may have, 615-893-1450. Again, if you have questions, feel free to text them to us, 615-893-1450. 1450. We'll be right back with Craig Harris.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Are you ready to take control of your energy usage and save money? Download the MyMTE app to track your energy consumption, pay your bill, and even report outages right from your phone. It's free and available now in iOS and Android.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh. But all of our fish, you can either get blackened, or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt. And either way you do it, it's just out of this world. And I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Thank you for trusting Woodfin Funeral Chapels with your most valued treasure. It has been an honor and a privilege to be part of this great community, but most importantly, to be there for you emotionally and to support your family during the journey no one wants to go through. Thank you for trusting Woodfin Funeral Chapels. Woodfin Funeral Chapels, Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris in studio with us today. We talked a little bit about pay raises, but there is a lot of other things, a lot of stuff happening in our county for sure. One of the big things, helping those who are addicted to drugs. Talk a little bit about what you've seen over the years, changes you've seen, and what type of drug epidemic you're seeing the biggest problem with.
We're really doing a good job. It's like I mentioned earlier, you know, our death rates have dropped 16% since 2021. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's me or anything like that, but it's our organizations we sponsor and provide funds for, and they've done a great job. And, you know, Hustle Recovery and Doors of Hope and Kamari House and just, you know, other organizations that are really, we've come together. And I'm more excited about that than anything. You know, it's something that, whether I'm in politics or not in politics, I'm proud of that. I came and addressed this matter, and Scott, we talked 5-6 years ago, and you knew how passionate I was then, and I'm passionate about it now. But unfortunately, we still have a problem, and now new drugs are coming. You know, there's a new drug. I think I'm going to try to pronounce it right. It's called Carthagen, and it is an elephant tranquilizer.
Oh, wow.
And it's 100 times more powerful than fentanyl.
And already being sold on the streets.
And we have seen some of that in here in Rutherford County. This stuff is lethal, and I'm really praying that this stuff doesn't take off like fentanyl, but we've had drug addictions and drug problems since cavemen. We still have a lot of work to do. It's not a time to sit back here and slap yourself on the back. It's time to even turn it up more and do more. So we have a very good fund balance for, you know, our organization, you know, for the opioid, Rutherford County Opioid Board. And we're going to be looking at expanding, helping, and refunding a lot of these organizations.
How have you gone about, because I know there's a big pot of money that Rutherford County receives each year, but how have you gone about helping in order to bring in that cash? Because we're talking about, what, several million dollars that's come in to help with that opioid crisis.
Yeah, and, you know, like it did, you know, when Mayor Ketchum was mayor, we went into a class action lawsuit against pharmaceutical companies. Now, the state had a lawsuit, but we went in as class action because one of the things that I wanted to do is, when I say we didn't want that money to tell us how to spend that money. You know, we wanted to be able to spend it the way we need to on Rutherford County. We went in that as a class action lawsuit. Of course, it settled. And part of the settlement was all suits had to be combined into one. So we received a little bit over $550,000 a year for 18 years. And then the state has an opioid abatement council, and they have probably over $1 billion. And then they take that money and spread it out to the size of the counties. And so that's been anywhere between $800,000 to $1.5 million a year. We have right now, we have brought on more police officers. We just got a machine where our deputies can go and put a substance into this machine. It tells you what it is so they can be safer, so they know what they're dealing with. We've helped schools. And I want to talk about that for a second. One of the things when I ran for office is I wanted to concentrate on three areas: awareness, education, and recovery. So education is, I went to Bill Spurlock and I said, look, you know, I want to do a program. It's pretty ugly. It's in your face. And I want to address our children. And of course we talked and he gave me three schools. Back then in 2022, we taught our courses to 240 fifth graders, 130 middle schoolers, and 1,033 high schoolers. In 2025, that number is going to go to 3,250 fifth graders, 13,700 sixth to eighth graders, 18,000 9 to 12 graders. That's growing right there. That's the schools getting behind us and saying, hey, we're addressing this problem. We're addressing it now. More proud of that than anything.
And what types of numbers have you seen as far as the decrease in overdoses?
Overdoses, we've had an increase, but we still high. I think we had 803 calls, you know, so
this
we're still,
year?
Yeah, so far. So it might be a little bit lower. I know we had 803 in 24, and I mean in 23. So some 850 or somewhere around there. I think we're still in that area, 700-800.
At the same time, while all of this is happening, while these new programs are being introduced, you're working with the state on certain levels as far as, for example, one of the latest things was the per square foot fee that's charged whenever somebody builds a new residential home, like what we started talking about in the very beginning.
Yeah, and like I told you, Scott, we're a subdivision of the state. Our delegation, and I get along with our delegation. Shane Reeves is a very important person to this county. He's a very close friend of mine. He was instrumental, along with Dawn White, Charlie Bond, Tim Rudd, Brian Terry, our delegation, Mike Sparks, all of those delegations helped get this passed through. And if we can't work with our delegation, we ain't going to be able to get nothing done. And so I have a meeting with all the delegations. It's going to be on the 21st of January, 6 o'clock at the courthouse. And I think people should come and hear what they got to say. And contrary to a lot of people's beliefs, the delegation is behind us. They want to help us. They want to help us go forward and help us deal with the problems of revenue.
And right now, Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, they're all doing special census counts. Their residents are getting mailed these forms to fill out. And once each resident fills out this new form and the new census is tallied up, that means more money coming from the state. And these state dollars are dollars, I guess, that we as residents put into the state through taxes. It does mean more money coming back to our individual cities.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you know, the thing about that census, and I encourage people to fill the census out. They need to, because it's a double-edged sword. If people just ignore it and don't do anything about it, that number could go down and you get less money. You know, that's a chance you're taking. So people really need to fill this out, need to answer this census. And it's so important for Laverne and Murfreesboro and Smyrna. We really need people to do that, because we will allocate more funds. That we have the people here. It's here. We just got to get them to answer the census.
And what's to come? I mean, you've got 2024 behind us. Of course, the fiscal year is not over yet for the county, but we've seen 2024 come and go. Now we're moving into 2025. What is to come? I mean, what do you see in the future as a county commissioner?
Well, one of the things I see is, you know, is our, you know, got to deal with the problem with schools. We have got to deal with roads. Greg Brooks is our highway department. I'm going to be honest with you, of all the employees and elected officials that we have in Rutherford County, Greg Brooks is right up there. Ted Beatty's the best, but Greg Brooks is right there. And he does a really good job with his budget, does a really good job with our roads. Man, I mean, Scott, how many times do you get in your car? You know, if you want to, I live on the other side of town towards, you know, Middle Tennessee Christian in Providence. And to come over here, to go over to Avenue, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, go past Avenue gets even worse. So we have got to worry. Now, people don't understand. That's a lot of city roads. You know, it's a city problem. But we got to address our county problems as well.
I know for residents, it does get confusing. Is that a state road, city road? I mean, that does get a little tiresome trying to figure out what's what. Who do I complain to if there's a problem?
It is. Is it not crazy?
It is.
I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, I get calls, you know, people, hey, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. Sir, ma'am, it's a city road.
Yeah.
You're going to have to talk to them. And, of course, if it's county, I'll address it. But that is confusing. You know, we have the landfill coming up. That's a topic. You know, it's a huge topic. It's going to be for the next 3 or 4 years, how to address that. It's easy to say get rid of the landfill and all that stuff, but then you got to pay for how to get rid of the trash. It's not free. You know, mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay. And then, you know, how much is that going to cost? We don't know real numbers. All we have is they're the evil and all that stuff. But what I want to see, being pro-business, is what's the financial impact on our county?
Yeah.
You know, how much money are we going to lose and how much money we're going to have to spend? We already spent $20 million on a transfer station. So it's just, everybody goes, oh, you're with them. No, I am with finding out what things cost. That's what I need to know, and that's what I want to talk about. If it's feasible, then we got to look at it and say, how do we pay for it, and what do we got to do? How much taxes we got to raise? How much fees we got to raise? All this stuff, nobody is giving these numbers, and we have no idea. One of the things I take pride in is I listen to both sides. I don't believe I'm the smartest guy in the room, Scott. But I'm going to surround myself by people who are smarter than me, and I'm going to listen to those people. And we have some superstars out there. We have some really smart people in Rutherford County. I believe in the youth. I believe in younger adults who have good ideas, good energy, new perspectives, and I listen to them.
Do you see yourself remaining a county commissioner in years to come? Because we got, you know, all of 2025 coming up on us, then 26, 27, and so forth. But what do you see yourself doing in the years to come?
You know, a lot of people are talking about me running for mayor, and, you know, that's probably something that I'm probably leaning towards. It has to come down to my family. A campaign against Mayor Carr, it's going to be contentious. It's going to be ugly, and I got to protect my family. And he has some where he attacks pretty good, and I want to just make sure, hey, are you good? You know, my wife, are you able to deal with this? You can't respond and protect me on social media, my sons and daughter. And I haven't made that decision because I want my family to be behind me. If my family's behind me, I'm done. I'm not going to do anything. And if they're behind me and running for commissioner, I run for re-election for commissioner.
It seems like political races turn a lot uglier than they used to just because of social media.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that irritates me, people will make an accusation. All right, it's front page. It's D&J front page. It's WGNS website. And then the retraction is on page 9. And then 3 or 4 days later, the story's already hit. And that's where I have a problem, is people saying things. And then all of a sudden, it's proven wrong. It's kind of like when me and the mayor got into it over that video and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and all that stuff hit, and it was not true. A lot of it wasn't true. But then it was 3 or 4 days later. You know, and that's one of the things that I don't like is, man, we should call people out immediately.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it's true, then we should hit them with it's true, you know. But come on, man. Just throwing accusations, saying things crazy, you know. You cheat on your wife, you know, stupid stuff. And then somebody thinks it's true and it's not true.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to my family.
As far as what is going to happen next for Rutherford County, what does usually occur during the month of January within the county commission?
Well, January, we're getting started now. People are doing their budgets right now. So all the department heads and all, they're all getting their budgets together. And then they'll start meeting with the finance director, and then he will start working with them on the budget. We start meeting in May. So the budget starts meeting in May, and we go over every single line of the budget. There is a needs budget, and there's a want budget. And so we're trying to see where we're at, how many pennies we got to move around to pay for everything, and start saying, answering some hard questions.
Again, budgets are the big thing, and that has to be decided, voted on, and passed no later than what? June 30th? What is the date?
Yes, I believe it's right at the end of June.
And state law requires that it
pass. State law requires it, yes.
That is one of the things that obviously is being done right now. Each department, like you said, they're working on figuring out how much they're going to spend, how much they're going to put towards X, Y, Z in their department each year. Do these departments within the county, do they usually stay at about that same amount of money each year, or do they continuously go up? Like the jokes may, you know, we hear those jokes about how government doesn't stop spending. They just keep spending more and more.
Yeah, I mean, we had a balanced budget last year. I expect one this year. Our department heads do a good job. You know, the biggest problem we have is 75% of our budget is schools. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, and that's a big, big hit.
Yeah.
And so they've been coming in. We have what's called maintenance of effort. All right. What that means is we cannot cut the school budget. We can't cut it, but we don't have to improve it to go up. So we can keep it the same as the year before, but we cannot cut it. And, you know, another misconception is they think that the county commission tells the schools how to spend their money. We do not, and do not have the authority to tell the schools how to spend their money. We have the authority to approve the money asked for. A lot of people don't know that. You know, like, why are you spending money on that? Hey, that's a school board and a school, so, you know, Dr. Sullivan question. We cannot tell the schools how to spend their money, just approving what they ask for.
Again, Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris. And Craig, thank you for joining us.
You know, it's always good, Scott. I enjoy it.
It is. It's always interesting. 9 o'clock right now is the time. Stay with us. We do have local news coming your way next.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.